Welcome back, everybody. This is the Only Net Fans You Know podcast. I'm Peter. I have my fellow Nets fan and cohort, Charlie, here.
What's up, everybody?
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
We had a nice episode last time with Matt. That's doing very, very well.
Thank you. Good job, by the way. I'm really upset I missed that. That seemed like a nice interview. Great job on that. And thanks to Matt again for doing that with us.
Yeah, he's a great guy and really, really good positive vibes from the episode. And, man, we got a lot to talk about this week. What's the working title?
Working title is the scary hours, PST, Pacific Standard Time. So the West Coast scary hours.
I like it.
So we got KD back for the Warriors game.
We got him back for the Warriors game.
From COVID protocol.
That was his first game back, actually, in the building. If you remember, the first COVID like scare last year was when the Nets were going to be playing the Warriors and the season ended. The Nets wound up winning 134-117. Durant put up 20 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. Kyrie, 23-5-4. Harden put up 19-8-16. Double-double for the beard. Brown chipped in, 18.7 rebounds. Nice little game from him for the Warriors, the bad guys. Curry put up 27 points, 3-5. Wiggins, 17-3-2. And Oubre Jr. put up 17-10-2. It was the Nets' first win in the Bay Area since 2012. And you know what? Tonight was the first time all five Nets starters scored 15 points in a game since 1997 against the Supersonics.
It was a great game, man. I mean, the Warriors got Draymond back, so they had that defensive presence. The big three really, honestly, just they were scary hours the whole game. I mean, the game... didn't seem like it was really close most of that game. Curry couldn't get going.
It was 2-9 actually from deep. I was gonna say that. You read my mind.
They could not get it going. I mean, the Nets again. After the Pistons game, it seemed to like light a fire under their asses defensively. You know, they're not playing like lights out defense, Pete, but they're actually like playing a little bit more defense than what we're used to.
They're getting the job done.
Definitely getting the job done. So. Then the next game you got the Kings, and that's versus the Kings. The Nets ended up winning this one 136-125. Now, this was a game where Kyrie Irving scored 40 points, had 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Also had 2 steals. Ironically enough, he was only a plus 5 on the floor the whole game. But man, he, 9-for-11 from 3-point.
Pretty good.
the Nets just couldn't miss this game. I think they have the franchise record for threes in a game, right? 27 threes this game, and look at this, dude. 9-of-11 for Kyrie, 6-of-10 from 3 from James Harden. Also putting up 29 points, 14 assists, and 13 rebounds. So another triple-double for the beard. Our guy Jeff Green had 3 three-pointers. He put up 13 points. Joe Harris was 2-for-2 from 3. Nice little game for Joe, 10 points. And then... what else to say? Look at the bench scoring. You got Tyler Johnson with 10 points. Landry Shamet, man, starting to come alive at 13 points. Now, you know, we were shitting on Shamet in the last few games.
No. I've been on the Shamet train. I've been on the train the entire time. Fucking bullshit.
You got off at a stop.
No, I said there's no stops. I was stuck on it, and now I'm getting into paradise.
So you just wrote it from... You wrote
from hell to paradise, absolutely.
So you basically rode the R train from Bay Ridge all the way to like Astoria, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Which is a brutal ride if anyone's ever done that.
I have.
Oof. Anyway, so we had a nice game against the Suns because watching that Suns game to halftime, I was like, all right, it's late. I don't think the Nets are going to pull this out. And then what happened, Pete?
They pulled it out.
Ironically enough.
The game was 128-124 for one of the biggest comebacks. I believe it was the second biggest comeback in team history. 24 points down. They were actually down at 21. The biggest halftime deficit a Nets team has ever came back from. Nets had to score 74 points in the second half to win.
It was a James Harden show. A
couple of stats for our guys. As you said, the James Harden show, 38-7-11. Harris 22-4, TJ put up 17, Jeff Green, Uncle Jeff, put up 18-8-3, my boy Shamet put in 13, and yes, he is my boy, CP3 put up 29.7 assists, Booker chipped in 22-7 assists, and the god, the I should say Greek god because of how built he is, Ayton put up 16 and 9.
So
beast,
you guy's know, a beast. In games like these, you realize how important our bench is and how important a guy like Joe Harris is, especially when Kyrie was out this game with back, back soreness? Back tightness, something like
so,
that.
So hurt his finger, back something.
I mean, James Harden ran the show, but you got really good bench pieces putting in work now. You know, I mean, they're starting to show their value finally.
Yeah, man, it was just a crazy game. The Nets actually did not have a lead. There was only one lead change the entire game when they actually took the lead to win. It's just this team is just I had a flat out amazing. When they want to turn it on, they could turn it on. This is an historically great offense, and this game had a lot of shades of that game against the Kings a couple years ago with D'Lo and Rondo hitting the game winner. Just, I don't know, spectacular. I don't know what to say besides that.
You know who I got to shout out quickly? Tyler Johnson is...
TJ's final. We've been saying it, man.
He's finding his slide. He's hitting his
threes. Because he can hit his shots, man. It was. I don't know why he wasn't playing before.
His defense looks his defense doesn't look horrible. You know, it doesn't look like everyone's like, oh, he can't defend shit, but it doesn't look terrible. The switching might work for him because he's not very athletic in guarding one on one. So the switching system may actually benefit him, but we'll see. Yeah, I shout out to Tyler though. He really really stepped up.
Yeah, I won't comment on his defense, quote unquote, too much. But I just love that he's finally getting a chance, and some numbers inside of the game. The Nets actually out rebounded the Suns. Finally, we have a game that we could say that we out rebounded a team, 37-34. From 3-point shooting, we shot 50%. The Suns shot 43.2. Little trend going on now of holding teams down at the 3-point line. The Nets are starting to get a little bit of identity. And, of course, only 10 turnovers, which is, we'll take it.
Can I do a quick shout-out this game?
Nope.
Thanks, by the way.
Go ahead.
You know, Devin Booker looked like he had it going in the first half. And the Nets couldn't find the answer from then. All of a sudden, they started playing defense, and Devin Booker had nothing. They had to rely on Chris Paul.
What about that last possession? Who shut him down?
Our friend, your friend.
My best friend.
Your best friend, Andrew.
My best friend.
So that was a hell of a defensive stop by him.
That was the game.
But for real though, why wasn't Chris Paul taking that shot?
If I'm the Suns, I'm okay with both of them taking it.
Chris Paul was cooking though. But they didn't score score in the final 2 minutes or something like that.
I'm okay with either of the two because Devin Booker, Devin Booker's a beast, let's be honest.
Yeah, he's a sick player, man. He's one of those guys.
He's like special, bro.
The Suns have a nice team, man. The Suns have a nice team this year.
I like CP3 on them.
They should have made the playoffs last year. That bubble performance they put on was... They didn't lose a game in that bubble, right? I don't think they lost a game.
They played very well.
All right, get into our next game. Everyone was so excited about this game. The Lakers and the Nets. Now, we didn't really mention this, but KD didn't play the prior... two games because he had a little bit of hamstring tightness after the Warriors.
Well, it was supposed to only be two games, Charlie.
Only supposed to be two games. Now it seems like Steve Nash, after the Lakers game, basically said there's really no timetable for his return, which doesn't very sound good. So I have a very bad feeling he's not going to come back until after the All-Star break.
Very easy.
I think the Nets are playing pretty well right now with the two guys they got. They could definitely tread water, but they got the Clippers coming up Sunday, so we'll see. But I'm going to talk about the Lakers game right now.
No more parties in L.A.
No more parties in L.A. We'll see how that goes on Sunday. But the Lakers did not have Anthony Davis either. So both teams are at a crazy miss. They're missing two of their main guys. Dennis Schroeder was out. So the Lakers didn't have their guys either. So... you have guys like LeBron putting up 30 on us, which is it's going to happen, Pete, right? LeBron,
he's guaranteed that he's a walking 30 bucket.
The dude is just unbelievable. He scored 35. He scored 35,000 points.
35,000? 35,000. Oh, I thought for the game. I said, how did the Nets win if he scored 35,000 points?
Well, the Nets have that kind of offense. They put up 36,000. So James Harden, 23 points, 11 assists. So... 5 rebounds. I mean, the dude, unbelievable again, just carrying our team to victories at this point. Literally just, he's the main facilitator, and he's always, he's an Iron Man. He has the ball all the time. The guy is just, I've never seen a guy this good since Jason Kidd for the Nets. And we have KD. You got Kyrie Irving putting up 16 points this game. He came back and he definitely contributed with 7 rebounds and 5 assists. And our boy Joe Harris went off. I mean, the guy is just shooting the lights out right now. 6 of 7 from three this game, 21 points, and 7 of 10 from the field. So Joe Harris is, I mean,
he's lighting it up, man.
Lighting it up. TLC put up 15 points. Landry Shamet 10 points, shooting very efficient. 50% from the field, 2 of 3 from 3-point. But TLC, shout out to him, had a nice game, 5 of 8 from 3-point. So, for the Lakers, like I said, LeBron, 32 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. Kuzma, 16 points. And other than that, like Montrezl Harrell had 10. No one else really put up more than 10 points. So,
what was the score?
Score was 109-98, Nets. So, that was
that was the game of the year, no?
Pretty much.
That was the game of the year.
This was the litmus test if everyone was healthy. But to be honest, the game wasn't even as close. Nets were up by like 25 at one point.
I was kind of disappointed that AD wasn't in, you know?
Well, he's hurt too. He's going to be out, they said, 4 more weeks.
I know. It's kind of, I was seeing on Twitter that, you know, a lot of NBA executives, unspoken, you know, unsourced NBA executives are saying, oh, you know, you can't really tell what happened with the game. Too many guys were out. I'll take the win with this. I'm happy. And 2 weeks ago, if you would have told me that this all this that would have, you know, happened, I'd be shocked. Yeah. I'd be shocked and I'd be more than happy. Of course, I don't want KD hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a Nets fan right now, this has to be the best team, you know, we've had in forever.
I don't think
right.
Yeah, it's early, like, you know, early 2000s.
It's crazy. Nets, like, I'm just honestly, I'm befuddled.
Yeah. It's hard to watch a team this good because you don't know what to do with yourself.
It's no, it's not hard for me. It's not hard for me.
It's yeah, I mean,
it's just it's wild.
Other than the fact that I'm a Yankees fan, all my other teams suck. So like, it's hard. Like,
it's like we're Golden State. You know, without obviously we don't have the championships. God, hopefully, please God, get us one at least. But you know, it feels, I don't know. It's a weird feeling. Seem like we're the team.
Well, briefly, you compared us to Golden State a little bit, but I honestly think they have a slightly better defense with that KD team, and I think we have a slightly better offense.
You know what I mean? I mean, like being the team.
Yeah, exactly. We're definitely that asterisk on the schedule that everyone looks at and is like, okay, we have to show up for this. But you know,
sure.
Nets defense definitely improved. They're just after those bad losses to the Pistons and you know the prior three losses. You know, our defense looked like it was in shambles. It looked
like
we
need some help.
There was a fire lit under these guys to put a little more effort. Just the effort alone they've seemed to put in seems to be that extra difference of, you know, 20-point leads and all that stuff. So it just definitely shows. And now we'll get into the fact that, you know, we got a few acquisitions last week. But now Shumpert, I don't know what happened with him. He has a hamstring injury.
It was practicing in Brooklyn. And, supposedly, yeah. That's what it happened.
It's just like, oh, we could definitely use this guy still. Get acclimated to the system, get time. But, you know, it's tough because I think we have to do something with him by the 23rd. We have to figure out if we're going to guarantee his contract or not, I believe. But anyway.
It's tough, man. I like him a lot. I just wish he could actually play.
Well, we ended up acquiring Roberson.
Andre Roberson.
So I think that's going to be like our backup Shump option if Shump decides to not be there.
You know, he's already been playing for a couple of minutes. He was a second team all defensive in 2017. He's 6'7", 210. You know, he could play power forward, man. He could play.
Spencer Dinwiddie's brother-in-law?
He might be, as we alluded to a couple episodes ago.
I want to pour one out for Norval Pelt. Because the Nets waived him as soon as they announced the Roberson signing. So,
grand opening, grand closing.
Yeah, not much there. But, you know, again, it was a shot.
After, you know, one of the games, Steve Nash was talking about Andre Roberson, saying Andre has the experience as a defensive wing. He has some length and experience on the defensive end. So having a piece to go out there and swarm people down as part of our defense is kind of the profile we identified in him. Hopefully he'll get a chance to bring him into the mix and gel, and he just met him apparently that day. That was after the.
Do you ever get the feeling like Steve Nash is a robot and he's just like saying answers that he has like programmed in his brain? Because I feel like he's not.
You mean like a PR team that might like print out what everything he has to say?
Dude, he sounds like a PR team every time he talks, but
he can't.
I know he kind of has to be. So what are you going to do? you know, I'm not complaining or anything because the Nets are historically scoring at a crazy high rate right
now. Roberson won't be shooting, you know, too much for us. He's not a great shooter, but thankfully, what stat you brought. No, not at all, actually.
We don't need him to shoot because we have five players. I mean, I think if this season ends like this, I think that's a historic record that we have five players on the roster who are shooting above 50% from the field and 40% from 3-point.
Ridiculous.
So you know who those players are?
Nope. Go ahead and tell me.
Those players are. It's for the fans. It's fan banter.
Just say it, motherfucker.
Got KD. You got Joe Harris, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Jeff Green are all five of the players that are shooting over 50% from the field and 40% from three. Now that's pretty historic. But one guy I want to talk about particularly because he's leading the NBA in these categories. Our boy Joey Buckets, and he's been nothing but buckets this whole season, except at the free throw line. Apparently, he was just really struggling at the free throw line. Joe Harris leads the NBA in 3-point percentage, 50.7, with 6.6 attempts per game. That's pretty good, man. He leads the NBA in effective field goals. If you don't know what that is, that's basically it compares the players who take who take 2-point field goals and 3-point field goals and meshes it into a number to see how effective they are at scoring. And then he also leads in true shooting percentage, which basically is the main stat to show how well your shooting efficiency is. So he's shooting 70% in true shooting. Pete, that's like 10% higher than high above average league leaders. So
he's shooting at an old world level right now.
He's the fastest Nets player to hit 100 three-pointers in a season. And, you know, he very well can break the Nets record this year with 10 less games. So, dude, shout out to Joe, man. He's really... he's
scorching.
We don't have a big three. I think we have a big four.
You know what? You could say that, but look at the players he has around him. Everyone predicted, yo, this guy's going to be open. He's open. He's open, right? He's not going down.
He also scores in traffic. He also has a really nice step back three.
He's tremendous.
You know what? Defenders really have to, you know, be honest with him because he's very good at putting the ball on the floor. He's sneaky good at putting the ball on the floor.
Yeah, so I've been saying this maybe 100 times already. A couple of years ago, he was the second best driver in the NBA. Field goal percentage wise.
I feel like this year he's also developed a spot up jump shot. Not a spot up, a running spot up jumper. So he'll just run, dribble pop. And it's really nice to look at. I think he's taking some lessons from Kyrie and KD on those because he hit a sick fadeaway in the Lakers game. He was really feeling it.
But what he brings to the offense is just, it can't be duplicated by pretty much, you know, anyone on the roster.
He's usually always crazy. A plus on the floor with us.
You know, think about it. If you can't leave him open in the corner, you can't. You have to have a defender on him. So if someone's driving like Kyrie, he's, you know, what do you do? Pick your poison.
What his corner three-point percentage is?
A lot. Yeah. Very high.
It's a lot, bro. It's almost over 70%.
That's crazy. I know Jeff Green's killing it, too, from the corners.
Jeff Green, you wonder when he's coming back down to earth, but, man, he's been really shooting efficiently.
He may not, because if he's good, he's open. He's open. If he's open, he's going to be good.
You know, like I said before, it's going to be really contingent on guys like Tyler Johnson, TLC, Landry Shamet. It's going to be on those guys who need to hit their open shots. And if those guys hit their open shots, you can always count on Joe Harris hitting his open shot. KD, Kyrie... is a shot creator. Kyrie, it's crazy, Pete. I've never seen him not get a good look for himself. It's not every look is a good look for Kyrie. It feels like.
He's going off this year. He's taking it more. I don't want to say he's taking it more seriously, but I definitely feel like there's a fire within him that wants to prove people wrong. That chip on his shoulder has gotten a little bit bigger.
He looks more driven. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's Kyrie, bro.
Kyrie. All right, guys, we're going to get starting, go into this wrap-up over here. Big news, hopefully for the Nets. Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin are going to be sitting out. It looks like they're going to be getting a possible buyout from their teams or a trade. Teams are hoping that they could trade them. I don't think they're going to get traded. I think they're going to get bought out. What do you think?
I feel like right now the asking price for Drummond might be a little high.
Why would you trade for him when they're going to be, you know, possibly going to be cutting him, you get him for free.
There was a report saying that, you know, the Cavaliers have no plan to buy him out.
That's all leverage.
Yeah, it's all bullshit. No one's going to want to pay the price they want for him, and he's got a huge contract.
The funny thing is that they just traded for him.
Yeah, I know.
That totally blew up in their faces.
And then Blake Griffin is also...
Which one would you want if you had to pick one?
I think Drummond. I mean, these guys are one of the, like... Has one of the, they both Blake have,
a
like,
three though.
They both have the he lowest. They both have the lowest efficiency ratings at their position in the league right now.
They're not playing a lot,
but they're very inefficient players. You can only play them in like JaVale McGee type spurts on this team.
That's what I was going to say.
I know we shit on him a little earlier. I like the way DeAndre Jordan's playing a little better. He's still a little, you know, lackadaisical on defense in my opinion. I wouldn't say lackadaisical, but
I know what you're saying. We were having like a little bit of a debate before. They were saying, oh, you know, these guys aren't efficient. But I'm saying, like, think about it, though. If they're going to come to the Nets, they know that they're not going to be the star. Drummond knows he's not going to be putting up 20 shots a night. So would you be happy with a Blake Griffin who's going to spot up from three and play, you know, play center, spot up from three, more than a Drummond who maybe might, you know, want two post-ups?
I think...
You know, like...
I think Blake Griffin is pretty injury prone, and I think he's not as athletic. Did you know Blake Griffin doesn't have any dunks this year?
I didn't know that. That's insane.
He doesn't have any dunks this year.
That's crazy. Are you real?
He has zero dunks this year.
That's fucking weird.
So I feel like his athleticism is. I don't want to say gone because I don't know anything.
We don't want you. We don't want to see any of those games.
Look at me. I don't know shit about athleticism, but like, you know, compared to like. That's a big deal for Blake Griffin. You know, like,
that was his big game. That was part of his game for sure.
So we'll see. I think personally, I think I would prefer Drummond.
I agree with you.
I just think he's a bigger body and bigger presence. See, I mean, he's basically.
We need a center. We don't need another power forward.
I know.
At this point.
We'll see. Man, we'll see if Claxton ever comes back and where he can.
That would be nice.
It would be. He was lauded as a defensive player.
Claxton.
Big news out of the NBA this week. They announced the All-Star starters. So our boys and your boy, KD and Kyrie, made the starting lineup.
Nice. A little upset that Harden got snubbed, I feel like.
I think Bradley Beal deserved it, honestly. I think Harden... I don't know, man. This might be a hot take because Kyrie's had a crazy year. I think Harden... should be in over Kyrie.
I agree. You know what? We've talked about this a lot. I've said this a lot to people on Nets Twitter. I agree with that.
Not to say Kyrie hasn't meant anything for this team.
Shooting
just,
guard.
Getting into that, pretty much, I don't think Kyrie doesn't deserve it. I just think Harden.
I think Harden has done. Yeah, I agree.
KD's obvious. Yeah, KD's 29 points per game, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. Kyrie. 27.7 points per game, 4.7 rebounds, and 5.6 assists. I mean, those are all-star numbers for them. So
absolutely.
James Harden, man, though, he's been everything. He's our anchor. He's everything on our team right now.
I think he could even do better if it was just him and KD. I think his numbers would be even more ridiculous.
I know, man.
Not that Kyrie holds him back. I don't want to say that, but it's definitely you could tell that he's restrained a little bit. And so there's some games that he needed to shoot more that he didn't. You know?
It's crazy to think, like, we play down to these teams with less records, and the Nets, like, only have one loss to a team with 500 or more record, and, you know...
Nets are beating up the West!
And the Big Three doesn't even play in most of them.
I saw, the Nets have the best record against the West in the NBA. The best Eastern Conference team against Western Conference teams. Insane!
And they have the best national TV record, too.
When
the lights shine brightest and things mean the most, the Nets show up, and that's pretty important, so... there was a big. I don't put much into this, but you know, Kyrie was interviewed after a game, and they pretty much he talked to James Harden and basically says, "Hey James, you're point guard. I'm shooting guard." You know what? I mean, if that's like
he revealed that.
Buy into that because I think what happens is when KD is out, particularly now, Harden gets one unit, Kyrie gets the other unit, and it's just a
shooting guard.
But yeah, remember DeAndre said that.
That's what I was doing. That's what.
So, yeah, no, James Harden handling the ball, I'm 100%, I'm on board with. Get me on board. If this is what they feel comfortable playing with, keep it going, man. We've won like 5 straight, so it's not much to complain about at these points. You know, there's our highs and there's our lows. Right now, we're feeling pretty good after this West road trip.
Well, not even that. I was going to say Harden's a better pass. I think it's clearly Harden is a better passer,
no
right?
Oh, shit.
Better vision. He can get off like, you know, Kyrie's very flashy too, but, you know, this is like Jason Kidd type passes from Harden.
I think Kyrie is more creative. I think Harden is more naturally...
Results.
No, I think Harden is more naturally technical, and I think he lets the game come to him more, whereas Kyrie is more of a guy who's reliant on creating and being, you know, different and artistic, as he says. He's an artist. And, dude, he's hit some crazy shots I can't even imagine going in if I ever tried them, but, like, still, like, the guy's...
Unless that's saying a lot.
I
had to. You left yourself open.
I've never even played basketball past, like church league level, so you know, what do I know? I just criticize it. What are our upcoming games, Pete?
We got Sunday against the Clippers, Tuesday against the Kings. It's the first, I guess, unofficial opening night. First game that people are allowed back at the Barclays Center. Me and you will definitely not be there. I hope you guys are. I hope you guys have a great time, and I hope the Nets win that game. And then on Thursday, we're going to be home against the Magic. Just a, you know, big game against the Clippers on Sunday. And we'll see if we can repeat our magic.
Yeah,
you see what I did there? Huh? Our magic against the Kings.
So funny, bro. Oh, my. Did I ever tell you how funny you were?
Very.
Oh, man.
All right, guys. Have a good day. Have a good night. Have a good commute. And we're out.
Let's go Nets.